to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We would love to speak with you about not giving up on your relationship. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. Let's go right to Maria calling in from the Pennsylvania area. Maria, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Good. This is my first time calling, and I listen to your program whenever I can every weekend.
Thank you.
I really love it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm calling because I want to encourage marriage. I will be married 22 years next month, which is truly a miracle of God.
Amen. Well, congratulations, Maria.
Thank you. And it was not easy. The first couple years, divorce was definitely something that I kept talking about. And it really wasn't until I went to an I Still Do marriage conference that it changed everything, because we stopped looking at marriage as a commitment. And we looked at marriage as a covenant, realizing that God is the covenant-keeping God. And after we came back from the conference, we actually had to renew our vows. And when we renewed our vows, which I think was the wonderful thing, is we renewed it with our godchildren who didn't have a father in their life.
Mm.
And so they looked to us. And, you know, it's not been an easy process, but I came from a broken home. And even though my husband was married, his parents were married, but not really married. And I remember forget my little nephew said to me one day, why should I get married? It's only going to end up in a divorce. And that just really broke my heart, because I wanted to teach my nieces and nephews and kids all around me that marriage does work, because God works. He's the God of the impossible.
Absolutely.
And I know that they're looking at us as our role model. And I even remember one time I had to work overseas for a moment, and my nephew got so upset because he thought that was the end of the marriage. I said, no, it's not the end of the marriage. It's just for a temporary moment. You know, so they really, really look to us. And they're in their 30s now. And, I mean, we are like their stable, their point that this is it. This is our family and this is marriage. And if Clint and Maria break up, then that's it. Something's definitely wrong. I mean, but it's a lot of prayer, fasting. I mean, you know, we still have our moments, but we love each other. And I'm so thankful to God that I stuck it out with him, because I really would have missed out if I left a long time ago.
And that's an amazing testimony. And yet, so many won't be able to say that because they will give up, or they've given up. And I think that perseverance is a beautiful thing. It's a gift from God. It's how God designed us to be. It brings glory to him. And like you said, there were times where it was just painful and it was difficult. But 22 years later, I mean, you look back, you don't have regrets, right? You're grateful that you persevered.
I am. And it doesn't even seem like 22 years. It really seems like just the other day. It really
does. That's great. Well, that's good.
It's been 22 years. What did just happen, you know?
So congratulations. What are your plans to celebrate the big 22?
Well, it's actually on the 22nd of August. So our joke is we need to do something. So we're hoping he's going to be old so that we can maybe just go to the beach for the weekend, just him and I.
Oh, nice, nice. 22 years and the 22nd of August. Well, congratulations.
Right. And we renewed our vows for 20 years. We did renew our vows.
Beautiful.
That was great. We did it at our new church. They were happy about that, just to show once again the covenant and the commitment of marriage.
Well, I tell you, just continue to persevere. I'm sure you already see this, but you perhaps don't even realize how much of an impact it's made, perhaps not even just to your nieces and nephews, but even to the people that they influence, because they're able to say, wait a minute, this works. Marriage does work. We've seen it firsthand.
Thank you.
All right, Maria. You too.
All right.
God bless you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Tanisha calling in from the Philadelphia area on line one. Tanisha, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Yes. I was calling in because I was married like 20 years, and my husband and I, we've been separating throughout the whole time. And it's like, every time when we do separate, it's like he starts to get into a relationship with someone else, and it's like different girls. And also, he joined like a car club. It's similar to like a motorcycle club.
Okay.
And once he did that, it was like our marriage was out the door. It's like he's putting a car club in front of my kids and myself, and it's just like he's evil now. I've been trying to talk to him on different occasions, and it's like his answers is one-word answers, put it like that.
Okay.
And he keeps telling me, oh, he has to get himself together. he want to come back. But then it's like, you throwing these girls on my face, and it hurts a lot.
Sure.
And my friends and family been telling me, hold on, it's going to get better. To me, it seemed like it's getting worse.
Sure. Well, it sounds like it.
We just celebrated our anniversary, our 20th anniversary, May the 10th. And we've been separated May the 25th. So it's like he comes over, he sees the kids, then he tried to, like talk to me. And I just, like, man, I don't know what to do right now.
Okay. Well, first of all, Tanisha, we do thank you for calling and for pouring out your heart. It sounds like he's made his decision. I mean, to be honest with you, it doesn't sound like someone who's trying to save their marriage. Again, you know, there are two sides to every story. I don't know, you saying that he's evil, he's mean now. I mean, who knows? He might be saying the same thing about you, and it might be both. But after 20 years, if he's not shown you repentance, I mean, why would you want to take him back? Why would you want to work something out if this has been something he's done over and over again, and every time it gets worse? And now he's joined this club that seems to be more important than the marriage and the family. So why would you? And I understand your family's telling you, hold on, but hold on to what? I mean, he doesn't sound like he's serious about the marriage. You remember years ago, what was that movie with that football movie with Cuba Gooding Jr.? It was like he was like, show me the money.
Oh, Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, Jerry Maguire. Remember that movie? And then that movie, you know, that phrase, he kept saying, show me the money, show me the money. And it's like, you know what? With repentance, the Bible says in Acts 26, verse 20, that we should prove our repentance by our deeds. We got to show it. Like, it's not just something that you say. Talk is very cheap, but show me. Man, if this man is serious about you, then why is he messing around with other women? What are you doing? If you're serious, why are you acting like this? It doesn't sound like he's trying to win you back. Mm-hmm. So I would put the ball on his court, Tanisha. I would say, listen, if you want this marriage, this is what it's going to be. One, two, three. Three. You, absolutely no more women. If anything else, it's over. Absolutely no more. You can't come in here. You're trying to win me over saying you want to have this relationship. You need time. This is how much time you have. I mean, you need to set the boundaries and then put the ball back in his court and make him decide.
Right.
And if he doesn't do what you're asking, and again, get some input. I mean, what it sounds like you're asking for is not unreasonable, but make sure it's reasonable. But for a wife to ask for the husband, if he wants to come back, not to be with any other women, that's not unreasonable. For you to ask him to be courteous and be nice and loving, that's not unreasonable. So you to be for him to be honest and give you a set time, that's not unreasonable. So you set those things and then see what he does. And if he doesn't do it in the time that you put for him, then you have your answer.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
No problem, Tanisha. Right. We'll be praying for you.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
God bless.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Shanae calling in from Pennsylvania. Shanae, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi. Hello.
Yes,
good morning.
We hear you loud and clear. Welcome, Shanae. Okay.
Thank you. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. Thank you.
Good. So I'm calling because I'm in a five-year relationship. We're being engaged for 5 years, and we're actually supposed to be getting married next year.
That's a long engagement. Six-year engagement? Like, wow.
Yeah, it's a long time.
You must have, like, a huge wedding coming up. I'm like, wow. Why so long, first of all? Let me ask that.
Well, we're young. We started out as really young.
You were 12 and you waited to get to be 18. Like, all right, so you were young, but now you're scheduled to get married next year.
Yes.
Okay.
So, but we've been having a lot of communication problems, tons, and we've been having problems with his family, making problems with our relationship. And I've been trying to talk to him about it so that we can try to, you know, make things better before getting into this long-term commitment. And the only thing he want to do is just hide underneath the rug and act like it's not even there.
Okay. So anyway, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. And, you know, if you, much as you feel comfortable, be honest. This is a long engagement. Are you and your fiance sleeping together?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, and you're saying you're having communication problems. Probably the biggest problem that you have is I think there's a spiritual problem. And because there's something about when we're trying our best to put God where he belongs, communication comes a lot easier. When we get selfish and we try to do our own things in a relationship, it's hard to communicate. And so my advice to you, Shanae, and I want to hear a little bit more of your response, but my advice to you would be put this relationship back where it needs to be and as God as the center of it. Cut off the sin. Stop sleeping together. Are you living together or just?
Yeah, we're living together.
My encouragement would be like, listen, one of you figure out a way, move out, work on this. You have a year that you're planning. Set your marriage with the right foundation. And in that time, when you take away the sexual sin, you take away the fornicating, you'll learn how to communicate, number one, and it'll become clearer what God wants. I want to have a little bit more conversation on this, Shanae, if you can hold on. We're going to take a brief break. But thank you for your honesty. Don't go anywhere, okay?
Okay.
You hold on for a minute.
Yep. Don't hang up the line. And also, if you're not yet on the line, we're still looking forward to hearing from you. Today, we're talking about don't give up on your relationship. If you're dealing with that right now, if you're considering giving up, or if you just need some advice, we invite you to give us a call at 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues right after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. Welcome back. We invite you to give us a call. We're talking about do not give up on your relationship. If you feel like you're in the midst of making that decision to give up, before you do, give us a call. 855-454-5905. Before the break, we were speaking with Shanae from Pennsylvania. We're going to rejoin that call. Shanae, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Shanae, thank you so much for your patience. If you're just tuning in, we were speaking with Shanae, who has been engaged for 5 years and says as she's having issues communicating with her fiance, and she's about to get married in a year. So my advice to her, and as we discussed a little more, was to make sure that Christ is the center of her marriage as she moves forward. And she did mention that she was been sleeping with her fiance. So, Shanae, so what have you and your fiance talked about this? Like, you know, do you see that it's wrong? It's not God's will. And have you had a conversation about this?
We have talked about it. We said that we would stop. We was thinking more so, we didn't really set a date of when we were going to stop, but we did talk about it.
Okay. Because you moved in together, like you said.
Well, we also have 2 children.
So you're basically, you're a family without making the commitment to be married.
Yeah.
And so what's the problem? I mean, why didn't you just get married sooner? I mean, it's been 5 years, is a long time. You said you were young, but now that's a different story. It's not just you're young. You live together and have children.
Yeah, we did have a rocky relationship when we first started out. And once I set a date and started planning it, I felt like we did improve on our relationship. But I feel like the communication issue right now is starting to be more of a problem.
Okay. Well, I think a couple of things, Shanae. Number one, it sounds like you absolutely need some premarital counseling. I don't know if you were planning on this or not, but you absolutely do. And if it's someone like myself or someone that's going to use the scriptures to counsel you, the very first thing they are going to say is, you know, you need to cut off the sin. You cannot be sleeping together and hoping that God is going to bless your marriage. It's a poor example for your children. It's just not right in the eyes of God. And if you want, you know, this blows my mind, Shanae. A lot of times we want God to bless us, but we're not willing to do it God's way. And so the communication things are things you can work on. You can work on communication. You got to eliminate the sin. You know, it's not pleasing to God. And here's why. I mean, you've not put Christ in the center. You know, there's a great scripture in Exodus 34 where God says that he is a jealous God. And he doesn't want anything to come before him, not a relationship, not our children, nothing should come before him.
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be my advice to you. I mean, do you attend the church together?
We haven't in a while.
Okay. Well, look, either your pastor or your counselor, and if you want to have more conversation with me, and perhaps, you know, as a possibility, maybe able to counsel, do some premarital counseling with you and your fiance, let me know. Stay on the line. You can speak to my producer, Larry, who would keep you connected and let you know how we can talk some more off the air.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right. Well, we thank you so much, Shanae. We appreciate it. And, you know, stand firm and hold on. Okay.
Thank you.
God bless.
All right, let's go to Edwina calling in from Pennsylvania. Edwina, good morning. Live on the air.
Good morning. Good morning.
Edwina, can you speak up for us? We can barely hear you.
Good morning. Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's a lot better.
Okay,
thank you so
much.
Okay,
it sounds like you're on a
Are you on
a speakerphone?
It sounds echoey, though. It sounds clearer, but far.
Yes. Is it clearer?
Yes. Thank you. That's great.
Hi. At first, I want to congratulate you guys for the awesome job you are doing. I listen to your show frequently on Saturdays, and I'm highly impressed by that.
Thank you.
But I'm calling this morning because I've been married for 20 plus years.
Okay.
And there has always been a rocky road in our marriage from my in-law's side of the family.
Mm.
And it has bellowed up to the point where I'm about to give up. But it's more complicated because I also have a calling on my life, and it seems to be a problem now in the relationship.
What's the calling?
Well, the problem is I'm asked not to get too involved in the church affairs, just to go to church and come home, do nothing else. And I need more than that from going to church, and it has become a major problem.
Now, Edwina, let me ask you this. So right now, you attend church alone? Your husband does not attend?
We go to two separate churches.
Okay, so you go to two separate churches. But you feel called to serve more, to do more. You see the needs in the church, and you want to be more involved. But your husband says, well, no, you just go to church and come back. I don't want you out there that long.
Yes.
Okay. And my first question would be, why are you going to separate churches? Has it always been that way in 20 years, or is that recent?
Well, in the beginning, I went to church alone, and I tried to encourage him to come along to church, and he agreed to come to church, so I had to go to whichever church he wanted to go to, which is, he's an Episcopalian, and
okay. So
I went to church with him for a while, but then I felt that I was not getting enough from there, and mm-hmm. so I decided to go to other churches and get a feel for it, and I felt the need to do more, mm-hmm. and I've been told, and I've God also has revealed that to me, that there are more things for me to do for yeah. His kingdom. So I'm asked now not to go any further.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I hear you, and believe it or not, I think Tiffany and I had a conversation mm-hmm. like this off the air during one of our breaks, and here's the challenge. I mean, you're a wife, right? God comes first, and then your husband. Some of the things with church, it could be God, and sometimes it's not necessarily God. And to be clear is, I mean, amen, you're able to go and worship. You're saying you want to do more than just worship on Sunday mornings. You want to be devoted, and that's causing problems. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, have you already done something and has it caused problems, or have you been pretty submissive to what your husband has asked you to do?
No, I haven't. I haven't changed, except it's difficult to continue on fasting and praying and doing what I need to do at the same time, not being at peace at home. It's difficult to do that.
Well,
it interferes with whatever. It's the whole situation is deeper than meet the eye, and
yeah,
it's something that I really cannot, you know, say on air.
I got you. I hear you. No, I hear you. And what I think, Edwina, like you said, is a lot deeper. You've done the prayer and fasting, which is the first thing I would have asked you to really do. But if you really put it before God, I don't encourage this all the time, but you're saying he attends church. Maybe this is a good time to say, let's separate and pray about what God wants us to do, because we're going in separate directions. And what I mean by separation, I'm not saying, you know, like long term. I just mean a couple of weeks. Like, have you taken some time? Listen, let me go away with some family, or go away alone and spend time with God. And you do the same. And when we come back together, let's make some life decisions, because you can't keep going the way you're going. You know, you've been married 20 years, right?
20 plus.
You know, when you get married, especially in the beginning, I tell couples all the time, try to map out what your future will look like. But after a few years, you know, the map might not be the same map. You might not be going to the same place. You have to update the map. You have to get a new map. It sounds like to me that you and your husband are not even on the same map. Like, you're going in very different directions. So you're going to the West Coast and he's going further south. And what do? You got to bring it together. And maybe it's not Texas you end up in. Maybe you end up somewhere else. But if you can both agree to go on the same direction, and it starts with the spiritual, right? I mean, you were going to church together, then that didn't work. Well, have you discussed maybe the both of you find a new church that you can both connect at? Or is he not open to that? Yeah.
He's not open to counseling. Yeah. He's not open to going to any other church. I have taken time away, gone on a retreat, and spent some time with God. Yes, and God did speak. And yes, I didn't listen because who I looked to for counsel did not counsel me in the right way.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I fell right back into the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where I am now, and it's a whole lot more.
It sounds like there's a lot more. I mean, and it's hard for me to help you.
I really, really will need some counseling, because mentally I am shaking. Even though I believe in God and I believe His word and I trust in Him and I know that He will make things better for me, but sometimes when the burden is just too much, you are so fragile that at times your faith almost fails you, and I pray that mine doesn't.
You're definitely at that point where you know you need some kind of intervention, because you're really struggling. And we hear you loud and clear. Edwina, I would love to have more conversation on the air. It sounds like perhaps we need to have a little bit more of a conversation off the air, because there's some things you don't want to share. So like I told the previous caller, you know, please remain on the line. You can speak to my producer, who'll give you a way to be more communication afterwards. And if for some reason you get cut off, you could always go to our website. It's praisephilly.com. And you can look for me, Marcos Mercado, and you can send me a message, a direct message.
I tried doing that yesterday, and I couldn't get, for some reason, it couldn't go through. I went to send email. I mean, nothing was working.
Well, let me give you the email then. It's pretty easy. It's beyondvows@gmail.com.
Okay.
Just in case. I'm sorry. We'll look into that and see what might be going on there. But beyondvows@gmail.com.
Okay.
All right, Edwina, thank you so much. Hang in there, and we'll definitely be praying for you as well.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye. If you're just tuning in, it is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Feel free to give us a call. We're talking about not giving up on your relationship, not giving up, period. So give us a call if you feel like you're in the space of wanting to give up. The number to reach us, 855-454-5905. Let's speak with Carrie, calling in from New Jersey on line one. Carrie, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Carrie.
I'm very appreciative of your show, and I can't believe I've gotten through. But My relationship is probably very similar to the last caller and the caller before. We started out in college. We lived together a little bit. And there were some signs, and, you know, all I was thinking was, you know, let's get married. And we did. The day after marriage, I found out my husband had a drug problem.
Wow.
So for the first 10 years, very difficult. I did everything I could to try to help him get treatment. I honestly don't know what he ever did. I know he had a AA book. But in terms of, you know, and I didn't know much about it. So over the years, I've learned, you know, you're supposed to go back and give apologies and do, you know, make some amends. And he has never done that, certainly not toward me. I don't know how to make this long story short. But now it's been 25 years, very up and down. We are in church. He hasn't been agreeable to counseling. We've done some of the marriage ministry workshops, but he's like he doesn't really want to be led by the church preachers. No boundaries. When we try to have discussion, he gets belligerent and in my face, you know, cursing and yelling, and has really, over the years, tried to put the children, as well as himself, against me. So in the argument, there's belittling and berating of my parenting, of everything.
And you say he's not open to counseling?
He has not been agreeable to couples counseling. I have done some individual counseling myself, which was very good, and actually was not very much spoken about my husband, per se, but about me and, you know, trying to become whole. So I don't know. I'm just...
No, we hear you. And 25 years is a long time. And you mentioned children, and you mentioned even... Is he currently using drugs, or is that like a chapter that's closed in his life?
Well, it was closed after the first 10 years, and then he did relapse after 13.
And is he back on that, or is he?
No, you know, I don't know. I don't think so. We actually had a moment to listen to your show one morning when you talked about Facebook. So he's been very involved with Facebook, and that has produced, you know, I know that he's been communicating with females.
Okay.
I actually got a letter about a year ago from someone who he reconnected with. She says she refused his advances. He claimed she was a woman scorned. So, you know, he tried to kick me out of the house. I did go to the police, and I got a temporary harassment or something.
All right, Carrie, let me interject there.
Yes,
I'm getting a picture of what you're saying here. 25 years, I mean, you don't really know who your husband is. I mean, that's the truth, right? There's a lot more than meets the eye, the drug problem, the women, the way he treats you yet goes to church. I mean, there's a lot more. And I think that in order for you, you said something earlier, you were getting counseling for yourself and it helped. I think it needs to go a step further, the boundaries that you need to have, because this marriage is destructive and he's not true to who he, I mean, how do you even know if he's faithful to you?
I don't.
You know, and I think when we share with an earlier caller, I mean, that's even dangerous for yourself.
Yeah.
And so we're not, you know, in no way, shape, and form, we're encouraging people to get divorced and move on. But at the same time, you can't live in with someone you don't know, with someone who's not honest and not trustworthy. That's what your husband has done. And I think that it's if you've done the praying and the fasting, the next step is like, listen, we need to. It's not a suggestion we need to get counseling. We must sit down with someone. I mean, this is a deal breaker here. We can't go on, because what are you going to do? Hang on for another 25 years of a living hell at home? You don't know what he's doing. You don't know what he's up to. And the repentance hasn't been there, at least not from where you can see it, right?
No.
I mean, even not apologizing, not remorseful. You need that to have closure. I mean,
right.
you know, he's hurt you in a lot of ways. Even the fact that you didn't know he had this issue with drugs until you got married the day after. I mean, there's a lot there, but you need healing. You both need healing, but it can't be a suggestion. And it's right. Not wrong, Carrie, for you as a wife to say, we have to have counseling or we can't have this marriage. I mean, you have every right, especially with everything he's done. I mean, he's given you plenty of reasons for you to put your foot down and say, this is the way it needs to be. So don't give him that choice. And if he doesn't want that, then he's showing you he's not serious about the marriage.
Right.
You know, and I wonder what he would do then if he's willing to walk away and he's like, oh, no, I want to salvage the marriage. Okay, well, this is what it would take. We
right.
got to talk to someone. Again, not a suggestion. We have to. This is a must.
Now, I mean, and in the past, he has said, well, you can leave. I haven't been willing to leave my home.
Okay.
I can, and I'm not materialistic, you know, at all.
What's all the house?
My youngest is 17.
Okay.
You know, they... One graduated college, and I have a senior.
Your youngest is 17. I mean, it's almost, he's an adult almost. I mean, he's a year away, right?
What's that?
I said, your youngest is 17. He'll be 18 soon. So,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, you know, at that point, I guess I'm even sooner. I mean, he's in boarding school. Okay.
I mean, you have some decisions to make, but. To me, it would be insane for you to keep doing what you're doing. It's not producing any change.
Yeah.
So, again, if he says, well, no, I'm not doing this, you could leave, then is he really committed to the relationship?
Right.
And I think you have your answer there.
I don't think he is, yeah.
You know, and if he, look, maybe he is, and it just hasn't come to that. And when it comes to that, he, you know, I've seen that when someone realizes what they are losing, but only when they're losing it, not before. And then they're like, okay, no, I'm willing now. I see you're serious. Well, it's sad that it took that, but at least it takes, it goes in that direction. Then you get the help you need. But my biggest encouragement to you, Carrie, is there are some things that have to happen and can't go on.
Yeah, that's true.
And so it would just be insanity to try to keep going in that direction. I mean, maybe you could wait a year, but don't wait another 10, 15, 20 years,
right?
25 years, you know, and then you're still in the same boat. Just don't do it. That's not the way to live. That's not bringing glory to God. Okay. Well, Carrie, let us know what you decide, and please, you know, call us back.
I will. I'm glad to get the email because I too try to send you,
we're going to find out what that is. I don't know. Did you go to praisephilly.com?
Yes. I went to Praise Philly, and I couldn't get into Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Okay.
Because I was going to just send you something online. But I will. I'll be in touch and let you know how things work out.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Carrie. You have
thank
a blessed
you.
Day.
All right. Take
have
care.
Blessed. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Jason calling in from Pennsylvania. Jason, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, Jason?
I'm pretty good. You guys doing all right?
Good, good. Well, thank you so much for your call. What can we do for you today?
I'm listening to the show driving, and I kind of had a similar situation as the two callers before when she's, I guess, engaged for 5 years. My situation is I'm not engaged. I actually have a son with a woman who, you know, we were trying to work it out. Did the whole, like, living with each other situation. But I think the issue that I was having with her is that we grew up in different backgrounds.
Okay.
Like, I was raised in a church my whole life, you know, kind of strayed from it. But, you know, like the Bible says, you know, you raise a child up in the way she goes, and, you know, he won't stray from that.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of different, like, never really did. So we kind of came together. That was, like, my main focus, to really get myself back on track and back into the church and back into the Word. And she was on board, but I guess the worldly aspect and what she lives in wasn't really able to connect 100% with what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a strain. You know, we tried living with each other before. We have a child with each other, 3-year-old.
Okay.
So we tried living with each other for a while. like 2 months it lasted. And I already knew that, you know, the whole shacking up thing, I told her going into it, like, I'm not a shacking up kind of person. You know, just the way I came up, my family is kind of against it. Like, I know.
So why did you do it? So you're not that type of person, but you did it.
Yeah, I did it more so because, you know, I had one child. It's just with her. I think I was really trying to work it out and be there for my son originally. I mean, and I had plans and intentions on marrying her, which I think are gone now for me. I think the biggest thing right now is that I'm kind of battling with that separation factor between us and trying to really establish, is it even worth attempting to, like, reach out to her now and trying to have her understand that, you know, if God is not the center of our relationship, then it's not going to go anywhere. You know, like, us living with each other. I mean, we tried it twice, you know, and it failed both times. And, you know, we were, like, sleeping with each other, and we have had issues. And I remember she told me something like, well, I'm not happy. And, you know, if you were doing other things, you know, outside of, I guess, like, taking care of home, then I might be a little happier. And she was referring to, like, sexual activity and, you know, things of that nature. And I'm like, well, I'm kind of refraining from that right now because I'm trying to get my spirit right.
All right. So let me get this straight. So, Jason, you were living with her. You have a child together. You're not now. What's the status of your relationship now?
I mean, it's kind of skewed. I mean, we're both willing to communicate with each other for the sake of my son.
Okay.
Of our son.
Are you still, do you consider you're dating each other or you're not?
Oh, no, not at all. Like, I moved out. Actually, I was put out when I told her I was going to find a place of my own. I don't think that really sat well with her. And then we started having this disconnect. So, you know.
So now you're basically just, you're communicating because of the child.
Right, exactly.
But the relationship is over. And, you know, I think there's a lesson to learn there, right, Jason? Is you don't want to, you do things your own way. There are consequences. And, of course, God forgives us, but now you have to live with, and you're going to have to be in communication with this woman for at least 18 years.
Right.
And exactly. Who knows, if you later on you decide to marry someone else, it makes it so much harder and complicated. And I think that's the problem. We have a lot of that going on today because we decided to do it our way instead of God's way. So I think it's a great testimony. I'm happy to hear that you took some stands and you say, well, I can't do this anymore. It might not be totally over, but I think at the same time, you know, if this relationship is truly going to work, it can't go on the same way it was going.
Right. And I think I did it too late. I think the commitment that I was making was too late. I mean, I kind of made it going in, but I was a little too passive. And that's one thing that I realized that you can't be when, you know, you're trying to be advocate, you know, for, like, Christ and live a certain way. It's passivity has to be, like, out the window.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, I was passive in my approach to allowing.
No, you were weak, Jason.
Right.
I wasn't passive.
Absolutely.
It was weak. And I think that's repentance. I mean, you're not doing that now. And so what are you going to do differently moving forward?
Honestly, I have no idea. I don't know, but I'm kind of just enjoying this time to myself. And it hasn't really been long. But, you know, I'm not, like, seeking anybody. I'm just kind of, like, praying before I make any move. This is probably the longest time that I've ever been, like, 100% single. You know, like, there's usually always somebody there, like, somebody to picture. Like, right now, there's absolutely no one. So, I mean, I get a lot of time to kind of fellowship with, like, you know, my brothers and just, like, spend some alone time in the Word and, you know, figure out what it is that God wants me to do with my life and not really base it on, you know, being with somebody and having a companion and a relationship. So, I mean, you know, not really sure which way I'm going to move forward, but, you know, right now that's not really my focus. You know, I feel like I have to really get myself to a place where next time it shines through already, so therefore I don't have to, you know, be, like, so lukewarm about it and worry about somebody else's feelings and emotions. Like, you know, if you're not really on board, then you're probably not the person for me anyway.
It sounds like you have to work on you before you can have a relationship, and that's what you're doing. Keep working on you. The temptation is going to be to get sidetracked and get back into a relationship because that's what you've done. But keep the path, man. Keep doing what you're doing and work on yourself. You said it hasn't been a long time. You definitely need time to grow.
Indeed.
All right. Well, Jason, well, thank you for sharing that with us. And plus, you're a father now, so you got to make sure you're a great example for your child as well.
Yeah, absolutely right.
All right. Well, Jason, thank you. God bless.
Thanks. All right.
Take care. If you're just tuning in, we have a few minutes left in the program today. Try to get your call in before we close. The number is 855-454-5905. We have Jermaine calling in from Philadelphia on line one. Jermaine, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Well,
good.
How are you?
Well, doing great, Jermaine. You actually might be our last caller of the day, so thank you so much for your call.
So me and my wife decided we were going to get a divorce.
Mm.
And I'm kind of torn emotionally, mentally. I mean, it's been a long time coming. I mean, 7 years of just absolute bedlam, chaos.
Okay.
And I don't want to feel like I'm, man, I feel like I'm disappointing God.
Mm-hmm. Why are you divorcing?
It's just, there's it's been a long time. There's nothing. We don't see eye to eye on anything. Anything.
Is there infidelity?
There has been on both parts.
Okay. Have you been to counseling?
We tried counseling twice. We went to a secular counselor once who pretty much said, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to a pastor some years ago. Her church pastor a couple years ago, and he said, it ain't going to work.
Wow. So what would you say is the biggest issue that you have in the relationship?
There's no real connection. I mean, we don't agree on anything, whether it's the children, left, right, up, that we don't agree on anything.
And you agreed to a divorce, and you both agreed.
And that's about it. And it's disappointing because, biblically, I know what's right and what's wrong. Mm-hmm. But this is, I don't know what to think right now.
So do you attend church together, or because you have mentioned her pastor?
Well, we've attended church together. We've attended church separately. I've been in church my entire life, and pretty much so has her family.
Mm-hmm.
But our perspectives, we can't even enjoy worship together.
Wow. So you're basically like, you're talking about opposites attract, but in this case, opposites retract. Like, it's just, like, you're just not even spiritually at the same level. You go
nowhere close.
Now, do you pray with your wife?
No, we don't even live in the same house. And as a matter of fact, in 7 years of marriage, we've lived more apart. I think I calculated the other day, I think, in 7 years, we lived together 18 months.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In 7 years.
All right. Well, and you called, right? You want some advice? Or you just wanted to talk?
I don't know what to do. I don't know if I need advice on this. Or I'm confused. And I know that this is probably the best thing. We have two small children. And back and forth, I can't, at 40 years, I just can't do the back and forth anymore.
Let me interject. Let me ask you a few quick questions. We literally just have a couple of minutes here. Have you and your wife been physically intimate? And if yes, how long ago?
It's probably been about a month at this point.
Okay, so it's a month. So, yeah, you've been kind of going separate ways, but you still have been like a married couple at least a month ago. Okay, so if you were to tell me you have not been with your wife for years, I'm saying, well, wow, you've really gone your separate way. So there was some connection there, Jermaine. Here's the thing. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 5 talks about do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, right? So that you may devote yourselves to prayer, then come together again so the saint will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I know you said there was infidelity in the past, but if you're both concerned about pleasing God, you could only be with each other. You could only meet each other's needs, no one else. And so although you don't agree on a lot of things, perhaps before you say let's divorce, you could agree on taking a specific amount of time, praying and fasting before you make that final decision. And maybe you've done that already. I don't know. But the fact that you've been with each other a month ago, there's something there. You can't say it's totally over. And even if it's just a physical thing, there's something still there. And you have a child together. I would say it's premature to just call it, you know, call it quits and throw in the towel before you go through this process of praying and devoting yourselves to prayer separately and then coming back together and making a decision. And you decide how long. It could be a month. It could be 2 months. It could be some time. Just listen, honey, before we say divorce, let's think and pray. Not too long ago, I got with a couple that they were about to get divorced. And literally the evening my wife and I sat with them for dinner to talk, because we were helping them and counseling them, they decided that day to rip up their divorce papers, and they're working it out. So there's always hope. But my encouragement to you, Jermaine, is to not give up so quickly. First, put it in the hands of God. And then as a last resort, if after that there's nothing you could do, then you both took it to God. And then what else can you do? But don't do it prematurely.
Even, I mean, 7 years.
I hear you. It could be 20 years.
we're no further now than we were 7 years ago.
Well, that's actually not a bad thing, the way you're sharing it.
We didn't get married under reasonable. We didn't even like each other.
Okay. But you got married, and you have a child.
Two children.
Yeah, two children. And you know what? It's not too late to work it out. I've seen that. I've seen couples who started off on the wrong foot and ended up, and now they're happily married. They're able to work it out. Jermaine, unfortunately, we're out of time. If you want to hold on a moment, I would love to talk to you a little bit more off the air. Just wait a second. And everyone else, thank you so much. If you hit us up on Facebook and we didn't get to you, we will do our very best to get to you, if not today, by tomorrow, and respond to your questions and your comments. Thank you so much, Jermaine. Appreciate it. Please hold on. Everyone else, we'll be back next week.
That's right. Thank you so much for checking us out. Much love going out to our producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive weekend. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.